Hey, this is Molly Patrick, and you're listening to the Clean Food Dirty Girl podcast. We are all about helping people eat more plants and celebrating imperfection as we navigate life's messiness. Hey there. Thanks for listening to today's episode. How's everybody doing? I am doing okay. I have a stomach ache, and I'm going to tell you why I have a stomach ache. Maybe this will make you feel better. So I had lunch today with a friend, and it was a kind of a late lunch because she was busy and couldn't meet me till later. So I met her for lunch. We went out to get Thai food, and I didn't eat that much, right? Just like we shared two dishes and it was good, whatever. And after lunch, I went to a health food store that was nearby because I needed to grab some lettuce. Okay, I'm giving you all the details here, apparently. So I'm feeling, you know, I'm so used to eating our meal plan food and our dirty recipes. And there is just something, there really is something about eating whole food plant-based, not vegan, but whole food plant-based. You just feel really good after you eat. You don't feel tired and you don't feel like you need a nap. You don't feel like full in your tummy. You feel really energized and really good and like you're ready for your day. And I don't go out to eat like often, but sometimes I will, right? For mainly social things, right? I don't ever go out to eat because I'm hungry. Like I go out to eat because it's a social thing. I'm meeting someone or whatever, having a nice dinner out. So, you know, it's more like I will never have lunch out just because it's lunchtime. Like I'll always eat at home unless it's like a thing, right? It's like a special kind of occasion. And I haven't gone out to eat in a while. And I was just reminded like how different I feel. And I didn't overeat at lunch. And lunch was totally vegan. I got fried rice with tofu and some veggies, no egg, and then some pad see ew, tofu, veggies, no egg. And I didn't overeat, but I still felt just sluggish afterwards. And Thai food, it's, you know, it's pretty oily. And so that's a big difference, right? Of course, whole food plant-based eating, all of our recipes are oil-free, so it makes them much lighter. But then, that's not like, here's the point of my story. I went to the grocery store and I'm kind of PMSing right now. I'm getting ready to have my period. And it seems like every time I'm about to have my period, I have this intense craving for Sour Patch Kids or like sour gummy worms. And it's bizarre because when I'm not about to get my period, I do not, like those are not appetizing to me. I never, ever even think about them. I don't even really like them. But when I am about to get my period, I crave those things. And it's not like, if I do have a craving for that, I'm never going to go out of my way to get something like that. And I wouldn't get like Sour Patch Kids or, you know, regular gummy worms from like a gas station. I would go to like, I would get them at a health food store and get like the hippie ones, right? With the, you know, natural dye and whatever. So I'm not ingesting food coloring and whatever else is in those. So, but I wouldn't go out of my way, right, to get them. But I was at the grocery store today buying lettuce, and I saw the bulk bin section right on the end cap there, and I saw these brightly colored health food version of like Sour Patch Kids. Not just because they're in a health food store. People does not make them healthy, by the way. These are by no means a health food. But I saw them and I was like, oh yes, I'm going to get some of those. And the great thing about the bulk bin is you can get just like a little bit. You can get like literally five of them if you want to. I did not get five. I got more. I got like two scoops of them. And I also got some dark chocolate peanut butter cups. I was like, oh yeah, I'll have one of these later. And as I'm driving home, I start to eat these sour candies and I just keep going. And I'm like, okay, that's enough. And I just keep going and keep going. And pretty soon I feel so yucky. Like my stomach is just full and I feel gross and I feel kind of nauseated. And I was like, oh my God, Molly, stop. And so I put them down, I put them away. And I have been feeling kind of icky ever since. So it's just a reminder that, you know, when I eat dirty food, when I eat whole food, plant-based, for anybody who's new listening to me, dirty food is, I say dirty food because we are Clean Food Dirty Girl. And what we do is we offer a membership called Plant Fueled Life, where we offer recipes and meal plans. And so dirty food is just like the recipes from our membership and our blog and our sphere. But when I have whole food plant-based dirty food, you know, I just feel so good and I don't even feel like, I don't know, I need anything else. It's just, it's so satisfying and it feels so good. So I'm just, my stomach hurts still. And this was like hours ago. And so that's what I'm dealing with, but I'm not feeling gross enough to not talk to you. I'm going to keep talking to you. All right. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I want to, today's episode is really about buckwheat, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. I realized I was like chatting with somebody in our private Facebook group, which is awesome. If you haven't joined us, you got to join us. That is the best, most supportive group anywhere. We'll link in the show notes. So I was chatting with somebody and she had some questions about buckwheat and I was like, ugh, I have all the answers and I have so much more to say. So I'm just going to record a podcast about buckwheat because ever since I went to France, it is my new favorite thing and I've always liked it, but I appreciate it, in a kind of different way now. And I've done things with it that I didn't ever do before, which it's been cool. And I've talked about buckwheat a little bit on this podcast, but I'm going to dedicate like this whole episode to it, apart from my stories about eating candy until I got sick. And which brings me to the second thing, which has nothing to do with being sick or candy, but it's something that I want to share with you. I sometimes will suggest books that I'm reading if it's a particularly really, really good book. And I have a really, really good book for you if you are looking for a new book to read. And it has nothing to do with plant-based anything, which most books I read don't. This is by an author named Elizabeth Lesser. And I've read two of her books now. The first one was called Broken Open, How Difficult Times Can Help Us Grow. And that was a beautiful book. I can't like recommend it more. Really, really beautiful book. But the book that I'm actually listening, I read that one. I read the like book of that. And now I'm listening to her book called Marrow, A Love Story by Elizabeth Lesser. And this is a really touching story, true story, about her relationship with her sister who went through a bone marrow transplant using Elizabeth Lesser's marrow from her bones. And to fight, her sister had cancer, and to fight it, they did a bone marrow transplant because the sister, Elizabeth Lesser, was a perfect match. And it's just, Elizabeth Lesser's writing is so, so good. She's written other books. She's written The Seeker's Guide. She's written The New American Spirituality. She's written, what else? Oh, Yeah, those are the ones. Those are the main ones. Oh, and Cassandra Speaks. That's right. I haven't read that one yet. But Marrow, I am really, really loving Marrow. And it's not just about her and her sister's relationship and the whole kind of story about this. It's spiritual and it's uplifting and it's, I don't know, it's I feel like I'm in a master class of like divine wisdom with this book. And I can't recommend it enough. So if you need a book suggestion, that is what I'm reading right now that I am loving. And I'm loving the audio. I put on the audio when I batch or when I do dishes or when I kind of tool around the house. And it's my little companion that I love. So, okay. Marrow by Elizabeth Lesser. Also Broken Open by Elizabeth Lesser. Very, very good. All right. So should we talk about buckwheat? Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. So buckwheat is a little trickster because it is not wheat at all. In fact, buckwheat is gluten-free and it is what's considered a pseudo cereal. So it's not technically a grain that comes from a grass. It's more like a seed that comes from a non-grass plant. So other foods in this category are quinoa and amaranth. And so just like quinoa and amaranth, buckwheat is gluten-free. So hooray, hooray for those of us who don't have gluten for whatever reason. And you can do many, many, many things with buckwheat. They grow buckwheat in France. It's a main crop of theirs. And so there's a lot of buckwheat things in France. I couldn't believe it. There was buckwheat yogurt and buckwheat everything. And I got back home and I was like, we are seriously lacking anything buckwheat. And really, I had used buckwheat in the past. I would buy buckwheat flour to make pancakes once in a while because my mom always made buckwheat pancakes and I loved her pancakes. I love that flavor of buckwheat. It's kind of nutty. So I would buy buckwheat to make gluten-free pancakes, and I would buy buckwheat groats to put in my hippie porridge along with other grains and lentils and kale. Getting crazy. We can link to that recipe, by the way. Delicious. So those are the two ways I kind of used buckwheat before my trip to France. But then after, I was like, okay, I'm going to like use this, like up my buckwheat game. And so the first thing is buckwheat groats. It looks like a little triangular grain. It looks like a very small triangle grain. And the buckwheat groats are kind of, when they're raw, they are really pale in color. Now you can eat those as is. You don't have to cook that. You can just eat it. They're pretty crunchy. But it doesn't have to be cooked, or it can be cooked, either way. But when you toast buckwheat groats, then the name is often called kasha. So if you see kasha, that is also toasted buckwheat groats. Okay, so when I went to my health food store to buy kasha, to buy toasted buckwheat, they did not have any. And so they just had regular buckwheat groats, toasted kasha or just kasha. It's darker brown and it looks toasted, whereas the buckwheat groats are more like pale. And so they just had the pale raw groats. And I was like, oh damn, I wonder why they don't have any. And then I thought, Molly, you can just probably toast your own and make your own kasha. Ding, ding, ding. And so that's what I did. The first time I toasted it, it came out of the oven. I let it cool for a little bit and I tasted it and it was so good. It was way, way better than any kasha I had ever bought, and because it's just more fresh. And so I was like, oh, I am going to toast my own buckwheat and make my own kasha going forward because it's ridiculously easy and it tastes so good. It tastes better than the kasha bought from the store. And so in order to do that, I just preheat my oven to 325 degrees. I get the biggest baking sheet I have, and I put a layer of buckwheat, like an even layer of buckwheat, on the baking sheet. I don't know how many cups. I don't measure it. It's probably like 5 or 6 cups worth, but it depends on how big your baking sheet would be. And then I also recommend, you know, I have two different baking types of baking sheets. I have one that has a little like lip, like a little edge that goes around, and I have the type that's completely flat. So using the type that has the little lip or the little edge going up is very helpful, because those little seeds or grains will just roll right off if you have the type that's totally flat. So I put in a layer of buckwheat groats. I kind of shake the baking sheet so that it's all even, and I pop it in the 325 degree oven for about 20 minutes, and I take it out and I kind of stir it around a little bit, then shake it again so it's all even, and then pop it back in the oven for about another 8 or 9 minutes. But I keep an eye on it because I want it to get nice and brown, but I don't want it to burn. And then I just take it out, I let it cool, and then I put that in a mason jar, and I store it in my fridge. If you don't live someplace tropical or humid, you probably don't have to keep it in your fridge. I'm just used to storing practically everything in my refrigerator, because otherwise it gets moldy quick because of the humidity of where I live and the heat. So that's how to make your own. And it's so good. And here's the other thing. You don't even have to buy buckwheat flour if you have a blender, because you can just blend the kasha and make your own flour. And so that's super easy too. I still buy the flour sometimes, but, and I can't say I've noticed much of a difference between my own, you know, flour that I grind from the kasha, I blend it. And you can blend it because it's not, you know, it's not super, super hard like a wheat berry is, right? So it blends really nicely. You don't need like a mill or a grain grinder. You can definitely do it in a blender. But I haven't really noticed a difference. Buckwheat flour is good. Making, you know, purchased buckwheat flour from the store is tasty, and so is buckwheat flour that I blend in the blender. It's also very good. So I don't know. I haven't noticed a big difference with that. So that's kind of the first thing. So then you have this toasted buckwheat, aka kasha, and what do you do with it? Okay, well, you can do all kinds of things with it. The first thing, and I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, so if I'm repeating myself, forgive me. I do have a vague memory of it, but it's always a good reminder. So one of the tastiest things you can do is you can make tea out of it. It's super easy. You just take a tea ball or a tea bag or a tea spoon, right? One of those that you can put loose tea in. And I have a little like ball that I can put, you know, loose herbs or whatever in, and then I put the top on, and then I put it in a cup, pour boiling water over it. So I just put toasted buckwheat, aka kasha, in the little tea ball, and then pour boiling water over it, let it steep for a few minutes and drink that, and it's delightful. It's so, like, it's light and it's cleansing and it's nutty and it has this wonderful, wonderful flavor to it. It's delightfully refreshing. And just, I don't know, there's nothing else really like it. And so that is one way that I love, love, love to have it. And then when I'm done with that, you know, with the little remnants that's left in the tea bag, I will just throw that on top of my porridge in the morning or my oatmeal in the morning. So I'll just keep it in the fridge. I won't toss it away. Okay, so that's one thing you can do. The other thing is you can literally top anything with this kasha. You could top salads for a little bit of crunch. You could top oatmeal or porridge or whatever breakfast cereal you're having. You can, I've had it on like sweet potatoes. or any kind of bowls, anything that needs a little bit of texture would be great. Sometimes I'll just snack on it. It's really, really good. So here's the other thing. If you are doing less like nuts and seeds, because if, you know, oftentimes people who follow a whole food plant-based diet will be wanting to go lower in fat. And of course, a whole food plant-based way of eating is naturally much lower in fat than any other way of eating. But even so, some people like to, you know, not eat as many nuts or seeds and get it even lower in fat. And so if you, like, you could use this in, like, you can use this in place of things like toasted sunflower seeds or toasted pumpkin seeds. Like, often I'll have tamari roasted pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds in my fridge, and I'll put them on, like, salads mainly all the time, or bowls or potatoes or most things. But if you're trying to, you know, do a little bit lower fat, then you can just sprinkle these on top, and it's really good for that crunch and a little bit of extra flavor. So that's another thing that you can do with them. So I think that this is a very underappreciated ingredient, and I have a lot of fun with it. One thing I love to do, and I'm thinking about this because tomorrow, by the time this podcast comes out, it's already going to come and go, but I'm going to start doing this more often, which is I'm going to go live on Instagram and make a ridiculously delicious avocado chocolate pudding. And it takes like less than 10 minutes, and it does not taste anything like avocados. It is so decadent. It's crazy. It tastes, you know what? It tastes to me, it reminds me of, okay, when I was younger, like small, like not small, but like 12 maybe, there was a Pizza Hut in the town where I grew up. And I don't know, this was like fancy because I grew up in a very, very small town. And so when like Pizza Hut came to town, it was the biggest thing. It was like, oh my God, Pizza Hut came to town. We've arrived. And so once in a while, I would go to, Pizza Hut used to have a buffet, like an all-you-can-eat buffet for lunch. And there was the part where you could get pizza. And then if I'm remembering correctly, there was like the dessert and breadstick section of the buffet. And I used to love to get chocolate pudding. But what I would do is I would also get a breadstick, and then I would dip the breadstick in the pudding. Did anybody else do that? Ugh, I loved that. And so what I did with this pudding the other night, and I'm going to show you guys how to do this tomorrow on Instagram. And if you don't catch it live, it'll be probably on our Instagram account in our reels, at Clean Food Dirty Girl. You can follow us. But I did this chocolate pudding, put it in a bowl, a little serving container, and then I sprinkled it with toasted buckwheat. And then I toasted it, or I topped it also with toasted quinoa, because you can also toast quinoa and eat that just like that, and it's super delicious. But then I also added some, I am getting my period actually, because wow, this was a combination that I probably wouldn't have thought of if I wasn't about to get my period. But I did some tamari roasted sunflower seeds on top of the pudding as well. So it was the chocolate pudding, the tamari, the salty tamari roasted sunflower seeds, the buckwheat, and the quinoa. And it reminded me of that that sweet and salty combination of the Pizza Hut pudding breadstick situation that I used to love so, so long ago. And so that's a really fun way to use buckwheat as well. So you can get creative with this. I also think that if you're doing the lower fat thing, although I have not tried this, but my guess is you could do like a walnut parm, but using buckwheat, like a buckwheat parm, and, you know, do some nutritional yeast and a little bit of salt and some garlic powder, and then put that in a food processor. That might be super good. Like I said, I haven't tried it, but I've been thinking about that. And so, yeah, those are just a few ways that I use buckwheat, and I really love it. I always have some in my fridge now. And then, If I get low, I'll just pop some buckwheat groats into the oven, toast those up, and they are delicious. I really thought before I started experimenting with this and before I went to France, I really thought that you had to cook buckwheat like, you know, like you do like millet or something. I really thought that it had to be, or like a wheat berry or steel cut oats. I really thought it had to be cooked. And when I first saw somebody eating it just plain, I was like, wait, what? You can do, we're allowed to do that? That's amazing. And since I've discovered that you can also do that with quinoa, it's a little bit harder on the teeth. I think it's a little bit more crunchy, but toasting quinoa is also really, really delicious. So anyways, those are my thoughts about buckwheat. And yeah, so try it out. Let me know what you guys think. Definitely try the tea for sure. And let me know what you think. And then do, even if you just toast up like a little bit, just to see what it tastes like, just do that. And let me know what you guys think. You can always email us at support@cleanfooddirtygirl.com, or you can tag me in our private Facebook group. And I'd love to see what y'all are doing in there. And yeah, let me know. So one last thing before I wrap up is, let me just make sure I have my little list here. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Everything. Yay. So one last thing. I send out a weekly newsletter. Ugh, it's a newsletter, right? That sounds really boring. I call this the Sweary Saturday Love Letter. And isn't that better than newsletter? I know. I've taken some good copywriting classes, specifically from Ash Amberger. She's the best. If you're ever looking to like up your copywriting game, I don't know. I don't know who's listening to this, but if you are in a situation where you do need to work on your copy, anything that Ash Amberger does, she's just a master. So newsletter, boring, sweary Saturday love letter has a much better ring to it, and it's much more accurate for what it is. So I've been writing these things for almost 10 years. Every single Saturday for almost 10 years, I've sent one of these emails out. A lot of you know this because a lot of you listening to this have gotten those emails for a very long time, for many, many years. There's people in our community who have literally gotten my emails since 2014. It's amazing. And I hear from them sometimes. They'll email me sometimes and I'm like, what? So cool. So anyways, I've been sending these emails out and they're not always about plant-based stuff. They're also about just lifey stuff and celebrating imperfection and just talking about the messiness of it all and, you know, talking about the struggles and talking about the challenges and talking about, you know, not giving up and talking about sometimes giving up is the best thing to do. And I don't know, it's all about life, lifey life. So, and these are my love letters that I send to people every week. I haven't really mentioned them in a while. And so I wanted just to take a moment to say, if you aren't getting my Sweary Saturday love letters and you would like to, there will be a link in the show notes. And you can also go to cleanfooddirtygirl.com/sign-up and you can sign up. And if you go to that page, I better fact check myself really quick. If you go to that page, you can also go to our website and click on love letters on the top navigation section. So yes, you can sign up for the love letters. They are totally free. And then if you scroll down, this is a little secret. If you scroll down on that page, past the reader's kudos. These are just little testimonials that people have given us over the years. You can read past love letters. And so we don't share every single love letter on this section, but we do share a handful of them. So you can read past ones if you would like. If you need a little dose of inspiration, like if you just feel kind of stuck or like icky, or you can't get out of your funk, or like, fuck, life is hard and there's no manual, what do I do? Go to that and pick out a couple and read them. And then if you're not getting them, definitely put your name and email address in the sign up area, and you can start hearing from me every Saturday morning-ish, depending on where you live. But I'm going to keep doing that because I love doing it. And yeah, I love connecting in that way. All right. I'm feeling better, actually. My tummy is feeling better. I just had to get on here and talk a little bit, but my tummy is good. I think I'm going to drink a little bit more water and go to bed pretty soon. I'm not even having dinner. I was like, after my late lunch and all of those candies, I'm like, it's going to be a no dinner kind of night, 'cause I just felt so icky. So I don't know. I'm just going to go tend to myself now and tend to my needs. And I hope you do the same, and I will see you. No, I won't see you, but I will be talking with you next week. Okay. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, you are going to love Plant Fueled Life, our monthly membership where we help you eat more plants and celebrate that beautiful human imperfection that we all have. You can try it out for free for 10 days by going to the show notes of this episode and clicking on free trial. You can also go to our website, cleanfooddirtygirl.com, and clicking on the banner at the top of the website, click on start free trial, and that'll get you there too. Also, if you enjoyed this episode or if you enjoy this podcast, will you do me a solid and rate and review it so that other people can find it as well? Okay, thanks so much.